open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome back to another edition of Bison Report TV. If you're catching the audio feed, this is, of course, Bison Report Radio, and we are bringing to you kind of an impromptu North Dakota State men's basketball preview because all of a sudden there's a game today. We're doing this on Tuesday night. We're going to drop it on Wednesday morning, meaning that it is Bison game day for the first time since North Dakota State men's basketball left the floor Summit League champions last March, before COVID-19 pandemic hit the country. The NCAA tournament was canceled. And then a bunch of other games were moved around as well. Joining me to preview this is former North Dakota State men's basketball captain and our number one Bison Hoops guy, Nate Zastrow. Nate, how you doing, buddy?
We're doing good. It's the best time of the year, beginning of college basketball. Got a morning slate of games tomorrow, looks like, starting at 11 a.m., and happy to hear the Bison are going to be starting their season tomorrow. Obviously, there's been some scheduling changes, and I think we're going to start getting used to that at some point here early on in the year with teams moving and games going all over the place. So looking forward to getting this team started and seeing what they're going to show us tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what a whirlwind, and we're going to talk about that in a bit. You know, North Dakota State having this deal planned in Milwaukee, potentially going to get a shot at, I think, Southern Miss, UW-Milwaukee, and Ball State. Ball State backs out, so it was going to become kind of a little three-team round robin, and they add Loyola Marymount and Minnesota on the way back to Fargo, while UW-Milwaukee completely gets overrun by COVID. The entire tournament is canceled. And we're gonna sprain a little bit of news here. We're not gonna break news, but we're gonna sprain news. It's something you might have seen me mention on Twitter. Folks, everything that I'm hearing, sources close to the program are telling me that I don't believe this Loyola Marymount or this Minnesota thing is gonna happen this weekend. It made a ton of sense coming back from Milwaukee, heading through Minneapolis, picking up a couple of games, but now they're going down to play Nebraska, to play Nevada. And what I'm hearing is that they're doing everything they can to get a game scheduled with Creighton. Creighton is the number 11 team in the country right now, obviously coached by former North Dakota State head men's basketball coach Greg McDermott, which would be just an incredible get for North Dakota State, Nate.
Yeah, I mean, Creighton's shown that they're one of the top programs in the Big East the last few years. They score in bunches. They've had some really good players. They obviously return a lot from their team last year. That was one of the top teams in the country. McDermott does a great job of getting them playing well, and they got some firepower, and NDSU is going to have to play one of their best games to even make that a game. Obviously, it's going to be fun playing a former Bison coach. Obviously, there's some ties there, but that's going to be a fun game to watch, and Creighton's going to be a really good team this year.
Yeah, they really are. That's a program on the rise. I know people were a little bit wary of Coach McDermott after Doug left and after that team was kind of disassembled, the one with Grant Gibbs and Doug and Gregory Echenique, and they didn't find the same level of greatness, if you will, at Creighton in the new Big East as they found in the Valley when they were kind of fighting for the Valley with Wichita State. Now they're a top level Big East program. They're one of the programs in the Big East, at least this upcoming season, are making some noise in recruiting. So certainly a program to follow, but another potential big get for North Dakota State, being able to, you know, somehow, as far as we know, they are still going to get a shot at Kansas. They could get the shot at Creighton. They're going to get a shot at Nebraska. They are maintaining the ability to get some Power 5 games on the schedule, which is a huge recruiting thing. I mean, when you're recruiting mid-major basketball players, the shot at the big boys is a big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, we forget about TCU still in there too. And to be able to schedule these games here kind of on the fly is big for them. And whether it's on the fly or it's normally scheduled, it's good to get these games. Like you said, for recruiting, you find a kid who might be on the verge of mid-major, high major, and you say, hey, we play the big boys. You want a shot to go to the NCAA tournament? We got to win 3 games in 3 days, but we're still going to play these big schools, and it is a big recruiting pitch. I mean, if you go and compete in those games, it definitely helps.
For sure. And you know, I know there are going to be a number of North Dakota State players that are probably pretty disappointed with the loss of that Gophers game. You know, that was going to be a big deal for them. And I'm sure, you know, the UW-Milwaukee tournament was a big one with, you know, obviously Tyree Edey being from that area. He was probably really excited to get that chance. The same as I'm sure Rocky Cruiser, Jarius Cook, and some other, you know, I mean, shoot, Jackson Notex from River Falls. That's a hop, skip, and a jump across the border. I'm sure those guys were excited to get the chance to play. But now Sam Griesel gets a chance to play in literally his backyard. I believe Sam was, I think, Lincoln East. I know, regardless, he was a Nebraska Bison, and this is a big deal. And some other news that I'm going to, you know, kind of lightly sprain is that we believe, based on, you know, reports from practice, just things we've heard about the program, that they're going to give Sam Griesel the first opportunity to play that point guard position. Donald Carter III is probably your long-term guy at the one, but he had a broken leg situation earlier in the spring that he's not completely recovered from. And right now, the primary ball handler, and more importantly, stuff that you've seen in the Summit League tournament, the primary ball distributor is going to be Sam Griesel. And he's going to start likely, I mean, certainly with Rocky Cruiser and Tyree Edey. I know that the other guys that are probably going to get an opportunity to start would be Jarius Cook, Malik Harden-Hayes. And I think you could maybe see Bowden Skunberg or Jackson Notek work their way into the mix. But I think that's going to be kind of the look. Nate, what are your thoughts with maybe a underexperienced point guard, but someone with length that's going to give opposing guards problems and who has proven the ability to really make plays, getting his teammates open, offensive rebounding? I mean, Sam Griesel just does the dirty work. And if you're looking for a point forward, I think he might be it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matchup nightmare. And I bring it back to my senior year. You had Lawrence at point guard, and when he took a little break, it was a lot of Taylor Braun at point guard for the couple minutes that he sat out, just to bring the ball up the court and just have a bigger lineup out there. Obviously, NDSU has some size and more experience at the forward spot. I mean, you could go lineups. If Sam's at the point guard, you could have Tyree, Notek, Cruiser, and like Witz or Nelson, and you got five guys that are 6'6 and bigger. How do you want to guard that? And obviously, Sam, they feel, can guard the 1 through 4 or 5 spot. Defensively, it shouldn't be an issue, but definitely an interesting way to go about things with putting him at the back of point guard. Obviously, with some young guards and McKinney, Cook, and Skunberg, who haven't seen much college experience and aren't really true point guards, it's something you might try out. If it works out, it works out. Otherwise, you can maybe slide one of those other guys over to the one if need be, but it should be interesting. I talked about it in the preview. I think Sam's going to be one of our breakout players this year. I have a feeling he's going to take that next step and kind of be the go-to guy for NDSU.
The one guy I think everybody's eyes are on are Rocky Cruiser. He was North Dakota State's lone All-Summit League preseason player as far as the all-league teams. Despite that fact, North Dakota State still getting 3 first-place votes in the league, picked 3rd in the league. Again, an expectation that the Bison are going to do it as a team without a true super-duper star. But I think Rocky Cruiser, with his the way he's trimmed down in the offseason, as explosive as he looks with his length, he could, I think, potentially dominate the other Summit League bigs. What do you think the ceiling looks like for a guy like Rocky Cruiser going into what would have been a senior year and now looks like a redshirt, where he's probably going to come back for a 5th season next year?
Yeah, I mean, Rocky's a guy who's just kind of been a bulldog and kind of done his job and more of a role player the last few years, with NDSU being kind of a guard-dominant team with Vinny and Tyson and when Cam came off the bench. I think Rocky early on's a guy that you got to play through in the post. I know he hasn't shown much of a low post game. He kind of has floated on the perimeter a little bit, but I think NDSU early on is really going to play, really play inside out, whether it's going through Cruiser in the post or going through Edie and Griesel have shown that they can post up and they're really good passers out of the post as well. But I'm looking forward to Rocky. I mean, he's a great rim protector. He can shoot at the three. Looking to see him kind of take that next step with the, probably the most experienced guy that we have back on our team. So hopefully Rocky's ready to roll. And I, knowing his work ethic and kind of his emotions that you see on the court, he's going to fulfill that role.
Give me your take on the newcomers. I think the ones that are likely to have a big role will probably be Donald Carter, Skunberg, and Grant Nelson, who everybody's really excited about. I think Desmond McKinney has a chance as well. But from conversations you've had around the program, film you've watched, I mean, what are your impressions of the new Bison? Because that's, you know, something everybody wants to get a chance to look at as the season kind of begins, is what they haven't seen before, what's fresh, what's new.
You know, it honestly kind of reminds me of my freshman year when we brought in four freshmen. The guard spot, you lost Woodside, Nelson, Winkleman, and you kind of bring back a couple of experienced guys who didn't really have much of a role, and like Freddie and Josh Vaughn and Tweet. I think Dave's going to kind of mix them in as he can defensively. It's an adjustment to make. I can see a lot of lineups going with more of an experienced guy with DC3 with Bowden, and then maybe have like a McKinney and Cook. I don't see him playing multiple freshmen on the floor at a time. I'm hearing good things from them. I mean, they got a high ceiling. They obviously are kind of being thrown into the wolves. It kind of stunk for them that they didn't have an exhibition game or two to kind of get their feet wet a little bit in the college experience. Yeah, you're probably playing D2, D3 teams, but I know for me that really helped me going into that opening game just to be able to get that experience. They're kind of being thrown into the wolves here tomorrow against a really good program. But Grant Nelson, be interesting to see if he finds his way into the mix. I would think he would. NDSU is pretty experienced at that forward position. With Cruiser, Witz, you got Griesel, Edie, No Tech. Malik Carden-Hayes might see some time. I've heard good things about him in the preseason here. Young guys, just play as hard as you can. The experience will come, but it takes time, just like it does with every freshman. I mean, NDSU is not going to get any freshmen who are coming in and being lottery picks. Kind of just getting their feet wet this next week and getting them as comfortable as they can, just playing their role.
Yeah, I think one of the higher upside lineups could be, like you mentioned, three or four really experienced guys and then sprinkling Grant Nelson in there, whether it's, you know, Sam and Rocky and Grant and two wings like Jarius and Jackson or Tyree or whomever, you know, that has a little bit of experience. And that is one thing they have going for them. I mean, Rocky, Tyree, and obviously Sam have played big, big minutes that mattered. And they've got a number of other guys, you know, that have seen important minutes. Malik Harden-Hayes played against Kansas State. Jarius Cook played a little bit as a true freshman and was, you know, expected to probably even have a bigger role at that time. Tyler Witz was the big off the bench. I mean, he's played every, you know, big moment that you can. There is plenty of experience, despite the fact that you lose a Jared Samuelson, a Vinny Shahid, and a Tyson Ward, Tyson and Vinny being two of the most, in my opinion, you know, impactful guys that this program has ever seen, for sure. I mean, those two are all Summit League first team caliber guys. I think both are probably Summit League Player of the Year caliber players. It just never worked out that they won the award. So Nate, you've had a chance, and you'll see this as well today on Bison Report, folks. You've had a chance to do a little scout on Nevada. What is North Dakota State getting into today, taking on the Wolfpack?
You know, Nevada, they were 19-12 last year, 12-6 in the Mountain West. Obviously, Steve Alford's out there now after stops at Iowa, New Mexico. UCLA was his latest stop. Took over for Eric Musselman. Obviously, Nevada had some really good teams the past few years before he got there with the Martin Twins, a couple NCAA tournaments. I believe they went to the Sweet 16 one year. But they lost a lot last year. They lost, I think, about 59 points per game. Jalen Harris averaged 21 a game. Jazz Johnson, almost 16. And Lindsey Drew averaged a little over 11. Jalen Harris was taken 59th pick by Toronto in last week's draft. So he's going to the NBA. So they really lost a lot. They returned one starter from last year. They do have five incoming freshmen coming in who I would guess Alford is going to kind of throw them in. A couple guys to just think about, Trey Coleman. Alford seems to love to go to that state of Indiana. Obviously, that's where he was from and where he was best known. Trey Coleman, 6'6 forward. He was an Indiana All-Star, averaged about 16 a game from the Indianapolis area. Jelani Clark is a guard. He was the San Francisco Player of the Year. And then they got three guys from prep school. Obviously, prep school, they're mostly playing just basketball. They're not really kind of just preparing themselves for college. So there's three guys there, DeAndre Henry. Then they got a foreign guy, Alem Husanovic. I'm sure I'm pronouncing that wrong. And then Daniel Foster. So I'm sure some of those guys are going to play. The one returning start is Robbie Robinson. He only averaged 2 points a game last year. And then they got two other guys who played as freshmen, and Zane Meeks and K.J. Hymes. K.J. Hymes is a big 6'10 forward, more of a rim protector. But they only bring back about 15 points per game from their team last year. So kind of in a similar situation as NDSU, where they got a couple experienced guys at the forward position. They're bringing in a bunch of new guards who they're going to look to mold in. They were picked sixth in the Mountain West. So I'm sure it's going to be a battle. Looking at some lines on my ESPN app, I mean, Nevada's favored by 2.5. So obviously they think it's going to be a pretty close game with the reputation NDSU has earned and the amount of scoring that Nevada lost but still being a good program.
Certainly, yeah. I think Nevada and NDSU are certainly two programs in flux. It'd be interesting, you know, if this was last year with last year's group, and of course Nevada would have all their guys too, but if this was a more veteran laden NDSU group, what this line might look like and what you might expect. I'm going to go into kind of my thoughts on the roster, and we're going to get some game predictions as well. But first, I want to take a chance to thank one of our top sponsors here on Bison Report TV and Bison Report Radio, and that is Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, Minnesota. This is just a phenomenal outfit put together by former NDSU running back, fullback, tight end, multiple weapon Chase Morlock and his buddy Aaron Lean, who hooped over at Minnesota State Moorhead. And right now with the shutdown in Minnesota, it actually makes it a little bit easier for you guys to get started and get involved. Rise has their Elevate app, and they're doing some online exercises, some online programs, some videos with Chase and Aaron to kind of get you working out from home. Most of it is body weight stuff that you're not going to have to like run out to the store or run out to Second Wind Fitness and go buy a bench and go buy weights or whatever. They're going to get you moving and grooving in your house. And so just for the next 4 weeks, especially as, you know, cases continue to spike in the North Dakota Red River Valley area, something to really check out. It's something that I've been utilizing, had the opportunity to get back into the gym for about 3 weeks there. And now I'm working out in my garage, doing the Elevate app and going with Rise Fitness. So we want to appreciate certainly Chase and Aaron for their support. All right, Nate. Yeah, I think, as far as I'm concerned, NDSU is going to have three things really going for it. One is length. Two is athleticism. And three is depth. I think they are just deep as hell. I really trust about 10, maybe 11 guys on this roster, depending on McKinney. When Donald Carter gets back, I think you're going to legitimately have like an A team and a B team that you could run out there where you are 10 strong and can really, really get up and down the floor. And I know that's not necessarily something David likes to do. Like, he's not going to want the game up in the 80s, but I think they're going to have the ability to defend. I think they're going to have the ability to switch a ton, and they're just going to be so damn long, especially with Griesel playing point guard. That might be a little bit, I think there might be some scary moments if you're up six with 2 minutes to go and there's full court pressure and you don't maybe have a primary ball handler out there. They're going to have to pass. They're going to have to be strong with the basketball, but defensively they're going to cause all sorts of problems. And that's what really excites me about this team. I'm excited for more shots for Jackson Notek, more shots for Malik Harden-Hayes, and really, man, Bowden Skunberg and Grant Nelson, both North Dakota natives. I'm really, really excited to see what they can do as well. Nate, do you have a game prediction for tomorrow?
Yeah, I think NDSU is going to start playing, like I talked about earlier, they're going to start playing inside out. I think you got to go through Rocky. You got to go through Sam on the block and just see what you can get out of that. Get those guards who maybe don't have as much experience and kind of get them comfortable. I think it's going to take a little bit for Nevada, and I think NDSU is a better defensive team just based on the past few years. I mean, Nevada's going to try to play in the high 70s, low 80s, and NDSU I don't think necessarily wants to do that. Like you said, they can go 10 deep and don't really have a star, so you can kind of mix and match some different rotations. I think NDSU is going to pull this one out. I think they win by three. I really think that they're going to be ready to go. I think that they have the experience to be ready to go without any exhibition games, and I think that they're hungry after what happened last year. I think especially those guys coming back wanted that shot at the NCAA tournament, so I think that they're going to be on a mission here this year to get back there.
All right, I got Nevada by four. Too many moving parts for me. Definitely think this NDSU's team is going to be good eventually. As I mentioned, they're long, they're athletic, they're gifted. But I believe the NDSU team that we see in March is going to be significantly better than the one that we see tomorrow. All right, thanks, Nate. Hopefully we'll be back after either this game or Saturday's game or Sunday's potential game, where we're going to try and get back to the people and recap some of this Bison basketball action.